بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين. قال الله العظيم في محكم كتابه: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل، ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل، وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل، ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل، فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Holy Quran says in the Surah Al-Fil, the elephant, Allah says, "Seest thou not how thy Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant? Did he not make their treacherous plan go astray? And he sent against them flights of birds, striking them with the stones of baked clay. Then did he make them like an empty field of stalks and straw, of which the corn has been eaten up?" This is one of the shortest surahs in the Quran, Surah Al-Fil. Even though that the name may imply it is a long surah because the elephant is big. They said a Badawiyan came to the masjid and he asked what the Imam is going to recite today, and they told him Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow chapter. And you know the cow chapter is a very long one. Definitely. It's the longest chapter in the Quran. So he waited till the Imam finished reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter of cow, and next day he came and he asked what the Imam is going to recite today. They told him Surah Al-Fil. He said, "No, I better go, because if reciting Surah Al-Baqarah took 2 hours, reciting Surah Al-Fil is supposed to take 3 hours then." No, Surah Al-Fil is a very short one, probably one of the shortest in the Quran. In this ayah, in the surah, the chapter of elephant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marks great event in the Arab history. In the pre-Islamic and pre-Arabic history, a pre-Islamic history, Arabs didn't have any specific calendar with which they measure the events. Unlike for example, the Gregorian calendar, Arabs used to mark their great events according to they tend to mark their events according to great episodes that occasionally take place. So for example, when we read about the year in which the Prophet was born in, all historians say he was born in the year of elephant, عام الفيل. And the reason they call it عام الفيل, because they didn't have any other systematic calendar with which they measure their events. So that's why they date the birth of the Prophet according to a great event that took place that year. And it was the event of the fil, the elephant. Of course, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now we know that he was born in year 570 AD. But to the Arabs before Islam, they did not even have any formal calendar with which they measure the events. So the Prophet was born in this year, عام الفيل, the year that witnessed this great event and this great miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. when an Ethiopian king, Ethiopia is a country in West, East Africa. It is overlooking the Red Sea. So it is separated by Arabian Peninsula by the Red Sea. Abraha was someone who didn't believe in God, of course. And he heard about the Kaaba, the black, cube-shaped building built by Abraham in Mecca. And he was so envious of Arabs going every year, traveling to Mecca, performing pilgrimage. And he encouraged Arab to visit something similar that he built in Yemen. Of course, nobody did. It's not up to a king to force people to visit a house of worship. This is the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to build the Kaaba, and people followed ever since. So, when people ignored his call to visit his fake Kaaba that he built in Yemen, he decided to attack and invade Mecca. Now, in Africa, African people have experience with elephants because it's a continent where elephants live. But in the Arabian Peninsula, Arabs have never seen elephants. Abraha, in order to intimidate people in Mecca, he decided to bring elephants with him in his army. And he used elephants as a means to invade Mecca. And when he got near Mecca, he sent a messenger to Mecca, asking them if they would like to negotiate with him. So Meccans chose Abu Talib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He's a great man, very wise, very wise. They chose Abu Talib to negotiate on their behalf. I'm sorry, Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet. Abdul Muttalib came and met with Abraha, the king. And he talked to him. And Abraha told him, I decided to invade Mecca. What do you think? And Abdul Muttalib says, if you want to invade Mecca, please do not attack our animals, our camels. Leave them alone. Leave our camels alone. And Abraha was stunned that all Abu Abdul Muttalib asked for was that they would not attack camels, their camels. Abraha says to Abdul Muttalib, he says, what a cheap man you are. I thought you will be negotiating with me, you will be pleading that I would not attack the Kaaba, your most sacred building. And you're asking me not to attack your camels? And listen to the great answer Abdul Muttalib gave. قَالَ أَنَا رَبُّ الْإِبِلِ وَإِنَّ لِلْبَيْتِ رَبٌّ يَحْمِيهِ. I am the Lord of camels, and the house of Allah has a Lord, and the Lord of the house will protect his house. I am responsible for my camels, that I ask to protect them. You leave them alone. But Kaaba has another protector. That's not me. Has another guardian. That's not me. And that's Allah. And Allah shall protect his house. Abraha laughs at Abdul Muttalib. And he decides next day to enter Mecca. All Meccans left Mecca. Nobody stayed in Mecca. They all went to the mountains surrounding Mecca. And Abraha, along with his mighty army, he entered Mecca along with his elephants. And as soon as he decided to enter Mecca. As he was entering Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Ababil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that story that I just recited for you. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ Don't you see how Allah dealt with the people of elephants, Abraha and his army? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ Did not he make their treacherous plan go astray? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلِ And he sent against them flights of birds. What did this, these birds do? تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ Striking them with the stones of baked clay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had equipped those birds with a small but very forceful, powerful stones that would not miss a target. Each bird hit one soldier and he would immediately die. And this is the great miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, I always say this in some of my lectures. I say Allah had not manufactured cruise missiles. He had not manufactured nuclear bombs. But he had manufactured things that are much more effective than nuclear bombs and cruise missiles. Small, very small stone can hit the soldier and he dies immediately. Now, many ulama speak about the nature of those or these stones, what they were made of. Well, so many ulama believe that they were made of, they were special stones taken from fire hell. And some ulama add to that, to the force, how come they were so forceful? They talk about the law of gravity. The higher the object can come down, the more powerful it could be and more forceful. And whether that or it was a miracle of Allah, the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those people a lesson for others. Meccans who sought refuge to surrounding mountains came back so stunned, just to see the bodies of those soldiers all over Mecca. Dead. And Abraha became the example of a tyrant who defied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the daylight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him a great lesson in the daylight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a theme for all tyrants who defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this was the year in which the Prophet was born. And that's why they say, وُلِدَ الرَّسُولُ عَامِ الْفِيلِ He was born in the year of elephant because of this great episode that took place in Mecca. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I chose this subject because next week we will be celebrating the birth of our great prophet. And our Sunni brothers already celebrated the birth of the prophet. Because there are two versions here, two stories. One says that he was born in Rabi' 12, and one says Rabi' 17. So there is 5 days difference between the two stories. Now it's not a big deal. Even the Christians disagree over the birth of Jesus. The mainstream Catholics believe that he was born in December 25th, and others, especially in Egypt, they believe he was born in, I guess, January 24th. So, this is not a big deal because it's a matter of dispute, could be a matter of dispute between historians themselves. And that's not a big deal whether he was born in 12 or in 17. And last week, I had a Christian sister who came to visit me. Actually, she was, unfortunately, Muslim. And she was brainwashed. She converted to Christianity. And she was brought to me by her parent. And I had a conversation, kind of discussion with her in my office. And I asked her this question. I said, how do you define God? When you want to define God, how do you define Him? She said, the Creator. I said, fine. The Creator. Now, you believe Jesus is God, right? She says, yes, I believe He is God. I asked her, do you believe He is Son of God? She says, He is God. I said, fine. And you define Jesus as God. Now, how do you define God? I mean, what's the perception of God? She says, God is the Creator. I said, fine. When Jesus was born? She says He was born. Some Christians say He was born in December 25th. And some believe in January, I guess, 24th. 2,000 years ago. I said, fine. If that's the case, and if He is the Creator of the world and the Creator of all human beings, then who created people who were born before Him? He was born 2,000 years ago. And if you believe He is the Creator, and He is the God, then who created Abraham, Joseph, Jacob, David, Solomon, all those prophets and human beings who lived before Jesus? Who created His mother, Mary? Who created His ancestors? Who created them? If He is God, if He is the Creator, then how those people were created? She says, I'm not here for debating you. I said to her, I thought you were. You flew from Mississippi all the way to Detroit. I thought you're here to debate, to search for the truth. You don't want to call it debate? Don't call it debate. Call it searching for the truth. Be honest and answer yourself. You know, one of the ironies about those who believe in Jesus alayhi salam as the Son of God or a God, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says, one day I had a conversation with a Christian man, and I asked him, the Imam says, I said to the Christian man, I said, I love Jesus. Everything was great in Jesus. He was great in everything. He lacked one thing. And the Christian said, what? What did he lack? I said, he lacked worship. Worshipping God. He was a great man. He was very humble. He was very kind. He was down to earth. He was accessible to the needy, to the poor, but he lacked worshipping God. And as soon as, Imam Ali says, as soon as I said that, the Christian went crazy on me. You say Jesus didn't worship God? He spent all his life worshiping God. Imam Ali said, are you serious? He spent all his life worshiping God? He says, yes, of course. Oh, really? A God worshiping another God? If Jesus is a God, why he worships God then? Jesus worshiping God is the best to prove that he is not a God. Because when you worship someone, that means you are created. And the one you are worshiping is the Creator. That's the best proof that you are in need of that person. You cannot be God and pray to another God. So, back to the subject. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was born in Mecca. And inshallah, I will talk next week about some other aspects of his life. But the interesting thing about the Prophet's life and Prophet's birth actually is that when his father Abdullah which was the youngest brother. There were 10 brothers, and he was the youngest one. When his father, Abdullah, married his mother, and she was conceived, he was conceived, the Prophet was conceived, his father left. Amina, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, she heard someone in her dream saying, إِنَّكِ قَدْ حَمَلْتِ بِسَيِّدِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. You're pregnant with the master of this nation. فَإِذَا وَقَعَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ فَقُولِي أُعِيدُهُ بِالْوَاحِدِ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ حَسِدِ. When he is born, say that I seek refuge to the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ حَسِدِ. From the evil, from every envious. ثُمَّ سَمِّيهِ مُحَمَّدًا. And then name him Muhammad. By the way, if you read the Arab history, pre-Islamic Arab history, Muhammad is a unique name. Nobody else before the Prophet was named that name, Muhammad. And today, Muhammad is the most popular name in the world. It is the most popular name in the world, according to the statistics, that it is the most popular name. So, and Amina, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, she says, when I was pregnant, I saw رأت نورا يخرج منها فرأت به قصورا بصرا بالشام. She saw a light coming out of her. Through that light, she saw the palaces of Bosra, which is a town in Syria. She saw, through the light that came out of her, she saw the palaces of Bosra in Syria. He was an infant who was just born when Halima, the other great lady. You know, there are a few influential female in the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. One of them is Halima. The Prophet loved this lady so much that he always respected her. For years later, the Prophet would send her gifts, and he sent his salam to her. And when she passed away, he would continue to send gifts to her children, her grandchildren, to her relatives. Halima, she was a mother, a lady who used to come along with other Bedouin women from the villages surrounding Mecca. They would come to Mecca every year looking specifically for infants from rich families. They take them, they nurse them so they could be paid well. Halima, she said, I came to Mecca and all my colleagues arrived in Mecca before me and they got kids from rich families. The only infant that was left was Muhammad. And because Muhammad was yatim, he was orphan, nobody was willing to take him, because no money shall come out of this infant. She said, but I took him. But as soon as I took him, everything changed in my life. She says, I came home and it was the year of a drought in our area, in our region. And as soon as Muhammad, this infant, came, everything was upside down. The greenery was restored. Rain came. Our herd was getting fatter and fatter. And everything was changing. And I saw firsthand, I witnessed firsthand the blessings of this infant. So next year, I took him to his mom. But I said to him, please allow me to keep him for another year. And I insisted. And when she asked me, why you're insisting to take this baby with you, I told her the things I saw with this baby. And she says, let me tell you something, Halima. This will be the prophet of this ummah. Now, where did she know? Where did Amina, his mother, know? Of course, from certain mysterious way. She knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, her son, will be the prophet of this ummah. And Halima says, I took the child back with me for one more year, and I brought him next year, but it wasn't long enough when his mother died and the prophet became an orphan. He lost his father when his mother was pregnant. His father went to Syria and he died there in Gaza, in Palestine. And his mother, he was 4 years old when his mother died. And then he became an orphan from both sides, his mother and his father. But look how great this man, how great this orphan was, that he changed the face for humanity within his 63 years that he lived on earth. He changed the entire human history, that there are over 1.5 billion Muslims around the world who believe in his mission, in his messengerhood. Inshallah, I will talk about this next week. I know it is time for Salah now, and we need to be prepared for Salah. As you heard, my dear brothers and sisters, next week we will be celebrating the birth of the Prophet. It will start at 7 p.m. sharp at the Islamic Center, not here. Next Friday, the program will be held at the Islamic Center of America on Joy Road. And inshallah, during the month of May, we will witness the grand opening of this center, inshallah. So in May, we will be able, with the grace of Allah, we will be able to move into the new mosque, and we will be holding our programs, our Friday night program, inshallah, in the new center, bi-idhnillah. And I'm sure you are all excited for that moment. And I mentioned that last Sunday at the Sunday program at the Islamic Center. I said I was coming last Sunday from Orlando. I'm flying back from Orlando to Detroit when the plane was approaching, and it came right over Dearborn. And I was sitting next to the window, and I was watching, and the sky was clear. There were no clouds, and all of a sudden, I see the beautiful scene of the new Islamic center, the splendid one, so beautiful that I was so surprised just to see. And it was very easy to distinguish the Jama, the new masjid, from your plane window. And I was so happy and jubilant to see finally that the masjid has come into its completion. Inshallah, it will be ready for use next month, bi-idhnillah, and we will be able to move to the new Jama, and we will be able to pray in the new Jama, and we will be able to attend our program. We will be moving our program, inshallah, in the new Jama, and inshallah, this gym or gymnasium will be history. I mean history. Nobody would asking to knock it down, but I mean history as far as it will be a testimony for the history and the inception of the YMA. For the last 5 years, we've been holding the program here in this beautiful gymnasium. And I hope, inshallah, we will continue this mission, and we will continue our mission in serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Muslim community. Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.